Samuel, yes. Get somebody on. Get Kevin to help you on that side, if you would. 2 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to talk tonight about a fellow named Shimei. Shimei. I wonder how many here could tell me who Shimei is. You know who Shimei is? All right. The rest of you will know by the time we're done. You'll know the story, but you don't necessarily put the name together with it. It's not one of the more well-known names of the Bible. As you're turning to 2 Samuel chapter 16, someone has said that Shimei was David's foul-mouthed foe. All right, David's foul-mouthed foe. And that's a pretty good description of him. We read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 16, beginning in verse number 5. If you look down there as they're handing out the outlines. Chapter 16 and verse 5. David at this point is abandoning Jerusalem because of the rebellion of his son Absalom. If you're familiar with the story, Absalom has rebelled. He's revolted against David. David, in fear of Absalom, in fear of the people of Jerusalem being slaughtered by Absalom, decides to vacate. He packs up and he leaves so that he won't provoke Absalom to do more damage to the people of Jerusalem. David's heart was always with the people. He was a shepherd. We talked about that last week. Absalom was a wolf in sheep's clothing, stealing the hearts of the men of Israel. David was a true shepherd. And when he knew the people of Jerusalem were in danger, if he stayed there, he left. And as he leaves, we read the account that begins in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, again, now he's leaving Jerusalem. Behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, thus the foul-mouthed foe. Verse 6, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou son of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. David's foul-mouthed foe. The Bible tells us in verse 5, he was of the house of Saul. Therefore, he hated David. In fact, we read here that he incorrectly blames David for Saul's death. He calls him a bloody man. David had nothing. On two different occasions, David could have killed Saul and did not do it. He said, I'm not going to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. So the accusations are false, but that's nothing new. When they're attacking David, when they're attacking the Lord Jesus, when they're attacking the church, when they're attacking Christian people, the accusations don't have to be true. And that's what Shimei does. He makes this. He speaks these things in spite of the fact that they're not true. He's just an unpleasant, vindictive, hypocritical person. You know, they want to say, well, all the hypocrites, the church is full of hypocrites. I got news for you. The world has more of them. And they're meaner. And they're nastier. And they're foul-mouthed. If they're hypocrites in church, it's simply because we're trying to live right and we're still human and sometimes we fail. But I'd take the church crowd over that crowd any day of the week. His life, the life of Shimei, shows us a man, how far he'll go in profaning God's Son while still professing God's salvation. How far a man will go in profaning God's Son while still professing God's salvation. That's who Shimei is. As many of these people in the Old Testament that we've looked at that had a good beginning and a good start and looked like they had the elements right, we find out after a little bit of inspection of their lives, it doesn't hold muster. Their lives, there's a lot of words coming out of the mouth, but it's not being backed up by their life. And there's a lot of Christians like that today, quote unquote, that say a lot of things, but the life just doesn't back it up. We're going to see that in the life of this fella, Shimei. Let's look first of all, letter A. at Shimei's shameless character. Shimei's shameless character. We see him in these verses. When David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Notice number one tonight as we talk about his shameless character, how he expressed himself. How he expressed himself. You know, you can learn a lot about a person by the way that they talk, the words that they use, the countenance of their face, the mannerisms of their body as they speak. You can learn a lot about a person like that, and we're going to learn a lot about Shimei just by how he expresses himself. See, David was a lightning rod. You either loved him or you loathed him. There was no middle ground. You were either for him or against him. Shimei was against him simply because he was of the household of Saul. And so he decided he didn't want to crown him. He wanted to cast stones at him. That's what we read about in verse number 6. And he cast stones at David. His animosity toward David showed in the way that he expressed himself. Look down, if you would, at verse number 13 of this same chapter. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went. The Bible tells us three different times about his vile language. Cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. You know what you've got? You've got a madman on your hands. David and his men are walking out the side, and the Bible tells us that Shimei is up on a little ridge walking alongside of them. As David and his men are heading out of Jerusalem, Shimei is walking higher than them on higher ground, and he's casting stones down, and he's saying, come out, thou bloody man, and he's kicking the dirt at them, just kicking the stones and everything at them. This guy's insane. That's how much animosity is in him. That's how much energy is in him. Oh, that God's people had the energy that the enemies of God have. You know, we talk about the atheists and how loud and verbal they are, and they're buying billboards and doing all this. Well, don't worry about that. Let's just match them. Let's just give out the Word of God as much as they're trying to disdain the Word of God. If Christians do their job as a witness and a testimony, we don't have to worry about the other side. But they get loud. They get violent when they express themselves. Notice small letter A. His hatred was hidden. His hatred was hidden. Notice in verse number 5, and I'm going to get off track here because I can't help it. Verse number 5, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. I've underlined that word thence in my Bible. That's a great word. Thence. That word appears in the Bible 145 times. Three words that are good. Hence, thence, and whence. Now, I sound like a poet, don't I? Hence, thence, and whence. All those three words together are almost 250 times in the Bible. And they're great words. But I got news for you. You won't find them in any new Bible version. They don't use those words. Oh, those are old and archaic. Those words are rich with definition and meaning. The word thence right there has two different definitions. It can either talk about time or place. When it says, behold, thence came out, it can either be saying, there came from there, or when he came from there. Thence. Either one, it can go either way. But all the new Bibles take that word and make it there came out a man. That's not talking about time. That's talking about place. What they've just done is they've gone and taken the old word and they've interpreted what it means. And in the new translations, they tell you what that word means instead of leaving it alone for you to research it and look and see what it means. We have dumbed down the Word of God. And when the Bible uses a word that gives us dual meanings, our new language, which is much more slang than it used to be, you think that's good. There's hence, thence, and whence. How about these? Hither, thither, and whither. You know those three words are in our Bible about 250 times together? And they don't mean the same as hence, thence, and whence. But you pick up any new Bible, they won't have any of those three words in there either. No hence, thence, or whence. No hither, thither, or whither. It's all, in the New Bibles, it's all here, there, and where. And can I tell you this? Those three words are in our Bible too, over 3,000 times. So there's a difference between each word. Now you say, what is the difference? I'll get back to you on that. Because as I was studying for this message yesterday and today, I came across that, and I wanted to really dig into it, and I started to, and then I looked at the clock and said, you know, if I really get into this, I'm not going to have a lesson ready for Wednesday night. So I had to put it aside with all my notes, looking up all these things. I gave you the numbers just a little bit to tell you how many times. But those words are specific, and they're there for a meaning, and they have a reason. It said, thence came out a man. Not there came out a man, like all the New Bibles do, or the New American Standard. There came out of there a man. They had to get it in there twice. Thence, behold thence, and of course the word behold is not in any of them either. Thence came out a man. I believe the word thence there is talking not only about place, talking about Bahurim, but talking about time. Up until that time, Shimei had stayed hidden. Shimei had stayed under the radar. Shimei's animosity and anger and his cursing stayed a little bit controlled. Until the day that David was made known, and David is now fleeing from Absalom, and now his opportunity. Now it's his time to get out there and publicly curse David. But before then, he's holding it back. There's a lot of folks like that today. His hatred had been hidden under the surface. He had no use for David. He was of the household of Saul. If Saul was going to be advanced, it meant something to him. But if David's going to be advanced, it meant nothing. So now was the perfect time. Now was the time to come out of the closet, as it were. And now he's going to come out and curse David. Up till then, it was hidden. Watch out for those hidden enemies of God. I couldn't have timed this myself if I'd done it. We send out the everyday delivery mail. We send out the big card. Brother Dale and his son Kirk helped do it, and we write up the back for it and send it out. And it goes to every post office box, every delivery route in the zip codes that we send it to. We try to pick out different ones, different times, usually all of Byesville. But it goes out to every house. Well, I got this in the mail today. I think you can see it from there, who it's addressed to. It's addressed to BBC, 207 South Fifth Street, Byesville. And here's what it says inside. It's got the little clipping of the back of our card. And it says, quit sending me your Christian beep. I haven't used that word in 40 years, so I'm not going to use it now. Quit sending me your Christian stuff. Some people in this community are secular and liberal and not interested. Thanks. Cambridge, New Concord, Ohio. You know what that is? That's a Shimei. He's hidden. Who is it? He wants to be taken off the mailing list, okay? How am I going to do that? He didn't sign it. He didn't put a return address on it. It's one of two things. He's either dumb or he's a coward. And you can take your pick. I can't wait to do the next Every Door delivery card. If it was up to me, and I know the Lord won't let me do this, but if it was up to me, the next one on the right, on the back, I would say, I got a letter from somebody in the mail, and outside of the one word in there that I'd have to put the little funny things in there, I put it in there and then mention the fact that they didn't sign it, didn't put a return address, so I know they're going to get it this time. But that's what it's hidden animosity. Good question. I'm using he in the mankind term. But that's the hidden, and all it takes is the right opportunity for that to come out. With Shimei, as long as Saul's house was on the throne, that wasn't the time. But when David now took over, and even if David had not been run out of Jerusalem, if he'd have stayed on the throne, Shimei probably would have stayed in the background. But now David's being run out. Now it's the opportune time. He's an opportunist. And now's the time to go out there and curse David. Thence came out. Now at this time, it was time for him to come out of the woodwork. And that's what the enemies of God do. They wait for their time. And when they come out, they'll come out cursing. You can mark it down. That's their vocabulary. That's part of their language. They can't express themselves. with anything bigger than four-letter words. And so that was his hatred was hidden. Letter B, his hatred was hurtful. His hatred was hurtful. The Bible says there in verse number 5, he came forth and cursed still as he came. We used to call that a 20-year sailor. You could curse like a 20-year sailor. Now you can say you can curse like a teenage girl. It used to be men were the foul-mouthed, men were the bad ones, and now we have so devastated the feminine side of our society that women want to look like men, not just the clothes that we've been talking about for years, but now the piercings and the tattoos and the hairstyles and everything, and the language that used to embarrass ladies now is spoken by females. His hatred was hurtful. He cursed till he came. Cussing is a sign of an unregenerate heart. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You and I need to be careful as Christians. Remember that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why we need to be careful of what we watch, what we take in. Because when we're exposed to a lot of that, you can't help it sometimes at work, the people around you. We need to control our environment because the more we hear it, the more it becomes natural to us. Can you imagine cursing David? David, the king of Israel, now he's going to get his comeuppance by the time this is done. But can you imagine cursing David? Can you imagine cursing Christ? Cursing God? But you walk into a public place, you walk into a place of business, and they're GD-ing this and GD-ing that and talking like that and using God's name. Boy, it ought to make your blood boil. The words are hurtful. He was a vulgar, foul-mouthed Shimei. Notice letter C, his hatred was heated. His hatred was heated. We already looked down at verse number 13, where not only was he cussing, not only was he casting stones, but he was casting dust, just kicking the dirt, just out of control. His hatred was heated, number one, physically. He cast stones at David. His hatred was heated, number two, verbally. Verbally. Come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. When he's saying come out, you know what he's saying, as we would say it? Get out of here. Come out of Jerusalem. Get out of there, you bloody man of Belial. Man of Belial, man of no character. Well, who's the one with no character? Always turning the tables, turning it around. Come out, thou bloody man. We were taught as children a saying that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names, you know, that's a lie. Names will never hurt me. You know, that's not true. Names hurt people. Verbally, we can harm people verbally just as well as we can physically and get away with it more because it's hard to pin down. Verbal abuse is not just a psychological term of our day. Verbal abuse is a very real thing. A lot of children have had to grow up under it, just being belittled and demeaned constantly their whole life. They grow up with no character. They grow up with no training. It says in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8, David is talking about this to his son Solomon. He talks about this occasion. He said, he cursed me with a grievous curse. That's what he said. That's what David said to Solomon in talking about Shimei in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. He cursed me with a grievous curse. It meant something to David. He felt it. He heard it. He knew what was being said. And he called it a grievous curse. Don't think that your words don't mean anything. Our words do mean something. And the words are not forgotten. You've got things people said to you 20 years ago you've never forgotten. Unkind things, unflattering things, mean things, whatever it might be. So his hatred was heated. He went all out. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Shimei gets away with this because Zeruiah says, or Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, says, let me go take off his head. I like Abishai. Let me go take off his head. Who is this dead dog that he should curse my lord the king? David says, let him alone. Grace. Let him alone. Gives him a space for repentance. Doesn't punish him right then. That's what the world's seeing right now. The world's vile and vulgar and anti-God and godless and God-hating. And God, they ought to thank God every day for God's grace. You know that girl? That person, you know what they ought to thank for? God's grace. And they call it this Christian blank. One day they'll stand before God in judgment. And hopefully the next EDDM card they get in just a couple of months or whenever, with a good gospel message on the back, will break through to their stony, cold heart. And they'll repent of their ways, because God's grace only extends till death's door, and then it's all over. So we find Shimei's shameless character. Number one, how he expressed himself. Number two, how he exposed himself. See, he tried to keep that hidden for a long time, but it's going to come out. Your true character is going to be revealed. That's why a lot of folks just like to isolate themselves and get away. They're afraid people are going to get to know them and find out too much about them. Shimei kept it hidden, probably with his crowd and his places, and it was all fine there. But now he comes out and he's walking on that hillside and he's cursing David and casting stones and casting dust. And Abishai, that great warrior of David, says, let me go and take off his head. Judgment could have fell right there. Had Abishai had his way, in a heartbeat, he'd have run up that hill and Shimei would have been headless. He'd have been the headless horseman walking on that ridge up there and everything around. Had Abishai gotten his way, he doesn't realize the danger he's in. He doesn't realize the stupid position he's placed himself in. His life could end any moment. Judgment could fall. And that's the picture of the sinner today. God's grace is being extended. God's grace is being given. They curse and they swear. They blaspheme God. They live a godless life. They live an anti-godless life. And God's being patient and patient. Any moment, judgment could come. And the angels, if it were, I'm not saying this is true, but the angels, if it were, could be up there in heaven saying, God, let me go down and take care of them. Let me go down and wipe them out. You hear how they're using the name of your son down there? Let us go down and take care of the problem. But God's grace is extended. God's grace is given, but sinners are exposing themselves every day to their last day of grace. Shimei's shameless character. Letter B. Shimei's shallow conversion. His shallow conversion. Go over to chapter 19, if you would. In chapter 16, David is fleeing Jerusalem, running away from Absalom. Three chapters later, in chapter 19, he's coming back victorious as the king, re-entering the city. Sound familiar to you? Again, David's a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world and the world rejected him. He went away for a time. He's going to come riding back and become the king. David is a picture of that. He left Jerusalem, Shimei's cursing him and casting dust, and three chapters later, he comes back again. Notice in chapter 19 and verse 15. So the king returned. There's a great phrase right there. So the king returned. That's a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just as David was driven out by those that rebelled against him, so he was coming back in just a little bit of time. Absalom thought he had the throne in the meantime, but he never really had it. And David comes riding back in and he takes the throne back. And now we find a sudden change in the attitude of one Shimei. Now, doesn't that make him suspect already? When David was leaving, losing power, he's cursing and casting stones. Now that David's coming back in, oh, what a different person he is now. His shallow conversion, that's what we're going to look at it as. Now, follow if you would. Notice, number one, he professed to be repentant. He professed to be repentant. What you're going to see is he does all the right things. We could take, preachers, we could take what Shimei says in the next few verses and find three or four points and preach a gospel salvation message out of what Shimei does. Because he appears to be repentant. But remember what made him appear this way. David went out. He cursed and swore and cast stones. David's coming back. Now, look at 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 15. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first of this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. His shallow conversion. He has all the outward means or marks of repentance. And if all we had to go by was what we see right here, we'd say without a doubt he's saved, using that terminology. Oh, he's a Christian. Look what he just did. But I would propose to you that we're going to find out by his actions afterward, it's all put on. It's all emotion. It's all convenience for the time and the situation. Notice, small letter A, what he did. What he did, verse number 18. The end of the verse says, And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king. Nothing wrong with that. We definitely can't find fault with that. He's fallen down on his face. It kind of reminds me of those devils over there when Jesus was here in the Gospels that fell down before him and said, Jesus, what have we to do with thee, thou son of God? Kind of tells us about those two men that went up to pray, the Pharisee that stood, but then the publican that got down on his face, fell down before him. And Shimei does the very same thing. He shows a fear of the king. He shows a fear of judgment falling upon him that very moment. And so the Bible tells us he fell down before the king. Emotionally, he knew what was the right thing to do. Intuitively, he knew, if I don't do this, I'm dead meat. I cursed him when he left. Now he's come back. He's the king. I'm out of here. So he did the right thing. Letter B, what he declared. What he declared, again, down in verse number 20. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Isn't that the first step of salvation? Acknowledging that we're a sinner. That's what the Bible, that's what Paul writes in the book of Romans, trying to get people to acknowledge that we're sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For as one man sin entered the world, now death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And he says the exact same. He says, I have sinned. You and I would think that would be good enough. David said it in the Old Testament several times. The prodigal said it when he went back to the father. Father, I have sinned. Done evil in thy sight. But can I tell you this? Pharaoh also said it twice. He said to Moses on two different occasions, I have sinned against the Lord. But you know what? It wasn't real to Pharaoh. That tells me in the Bible that people can say that, and it can either be honest and sincere, or it can be just getting their hand caught in the cookie jar at the right time and knowing what the right thing to say is. The fear is in our day that there have been a lot of conversions that have been nothing more than Shimei and Pharaoh. Mouthing the words and saying the right thing, but really not having a change of heart. That's the danger. We're all for winning people to Christ, and we spend all of our energy and all that we can to win people to Christ. We've got to make sure that when they do it the best we can, that they're sincere in what they do. It can't just be a 1, 2, 3, pray after me, or it doesn't do any good. I remember many, many years ago, I was working with the church at Vacation Bible School. And a fellow was up there doing the robots and the entertainment and all the fun for the kids, and then preached a message and then had kids raise their hand. And you know how it goes in Vacation Bible School. 20 or 30 kids over here, 20 over there. They're all bowing their heads. Raise your hand if you need to accept Christ. And kids are looking. If Billy raises his hand, I'll raise my hand. They're all doing all that stuff. And after they're all done, they sent the kids out, and they sent me outside the building with about 6, 7, 8 kids out there. And I went out there and I talked to them. I said, why'd you raise your hand? Oh, because Billy did. You know you're a sinner? Well, I don't know. What does that mean? So I talked to each one of the 8 separate. There's about 2 of them that really could answer the questions and knew what was going on. And so I talked to those 2, and Lord willing, the 2 of them got saved. I hope they did. They said the right words. They prayed the right prayer. I thought they were sincere. And the other 6, I said, you go back in, enjoy the rest of it. Come back tomorrow night. Have a good time. Don't you know, after that service, that preacher came out and he said, how many of you got saved out there? I said, 2. He said, no. Didn't you have about 6 or 8 kids out there? I said, well, there was 8 come out, but 6 didn't know what in the world. Boy, he chewed me up one side and down the other. He said, don't you ever do that again. If I send you out there with 8 kids, you better come back in and tell me 8 kids got saved. There's a lot of shimmy-eye conversions going on. There's a lot of people just bowing their head, nodding their head. You folks, you miss all the fun sometimes. Brother John and I get a kick out of it sometimes. He's learning some stuff, and I go dig out some old books on some old preachers on how to do it, and they tell you when you knock on the door, when they open the screen door, you hurry up and put your foot in there so they can't close the screen door. You know, back in the 50s or 60s, that might have worked. Now you get your foot blown off. They tell you work by 2s, and when you get in the house, you go sit down at the couch, and if the TV's on, while one talks, the other goes over and turns the TV off. I wouldn't dare try to do that in our day. We've got to be careful. There's a lot of shimmy-eye and Pharaoh conversions out there. It's great to say, I have sinned, but it has to be sincere from the heart, not just the words that are necessary to get out of a certain situation. You say, well, you're making that judgment on Shimei. Yes, I am. I understand that. And you can take the opposite judgment. Let's see how the story turns out in the end, and we'll see whether we think it was real or not. What he did, what he declared. Let her see what he desired. What he desired. Again, in verse 19, he says the right words. Let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. That's number 1 in parenthesis right below there. O Lord, forgive. He's calling David Lord, small l. Let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. So we carry that over into our New Testament context. Let not my Lord impute. There's one of those other great King James Bible words. It means don't count it to me. Don't hold me accountable for my iniquity. Let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. Erase my account. That's what he's asking. Kind of like the song Matt said, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. When we come to Jesus by faith, sincerely, he takes our sins and puts them under the blood of Christ. We once were under sin. You get saved, now you're under the blood of Christ. And that's stronger than the sins. He says the right words. Lord, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. O Lord, forgive. Number 2, O Lord, forget. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely in the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take heart to this. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely. David, put my sins behind your back. Forget about them. Cast them as far as the east is from the west. I'm thankful that God does that to us. I'm thankful the Lord, the Bible promises that when we sincerely come to Christ, he does exactly that. That's how we know we have eternal life. That's how we know we pass from light, from darkness to light, from death to life, because we've trusted Christ sincerely from our heart. He did the right things. He said the right things. He asked for the right things. But David doesn't buy it. David shows him grace. David doesn't have him executed on the spot. He could have done it. David shows him grace, but he doesn't buy it. And we know that because let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. Lord, give me 10 more minutes of voice. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, 1 Kings. Thank you. 1 Kings. Got it written down right and said it wrong. 1 Kings chapter 2. David is now passing the throne on to his son Solomon. And he gives Solomon some instruction. And in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 8, David tells Solomon, "Behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me in Jordan. I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless. For thou art a wise man and knowest what thou oughtest to do. But his hoarhead, gray hair, his hoarhead bring thou down to the grave with blood." Can you see David didn't buy it? David wasn't fooled by it. He said the right words. He did the right thing. But David knew his heart. And the same thing is true of God. We say it this way, many a prisoner in a prison has repented of their sins and said, "Lord, I've sinned and trusted Christ." But it's because of their situation, because of their circumstance. There's no sincerity of heart. And you don't have to be in prison for that to happen. There's a lot of folks that will just do it because it's convenient, do it because it's easy. But it's got to be sincere. And the Lord knows when it is and when it isn't. We can't tell. That's why when we're trying to win somebody to Christ, we do the best we can, humanly speaking, and deliver it as clear as we can and make sure that we can tell that God is working in the heart and not just fly through that thing and speed through it. Notice number two, in Shimei's shallow conversion, not only he professed to be repentant, but number two, he pretended to be regenerate. He pretended to be regenerate. First Kings chapter 2, we read verse number 8. David said there that he cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. The next word, but. But he came down to meet me at Jordan. A new man. A new outlook. A new appreciation of David. He's got the signs. It looks like now he's welcoming David back and everything looks good on the outside. He's cleaned up his act, so to speak. He's acknowledged David now as king, where once he cursed him. Everything seems to be fine, looks to be going good. But now Solomon's going to give him a test of his conversion. Look back at verse 36. Verse 36 of 1 Kings 2. And the king sent and called for Shimei. All right, here is after David the king. David is a picture of Jesus as Savior. Then he turns it over to Solomon the king, and Solomon is a picture of Jesus as sovereign. David showed grace. David didn't put him to death. But now he tells his son Solomon, who's a picture of Christ in his sovereignty, get rid of that guy. So Solomon says, well, I'll test his faith. Here's what I'll do. I'll put him in a circle. I'll hedge him about. And I'll see whether he stays in the hedge. I'll give him a commandment and see whether or not he stays within my commandments. If he stays within my commandment, I'll know it's real. If he wanders out, I'll know it wasn't real. Solomon says in verse 36 of 1 Kings chapter 2, and the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there. And go not forth thence, go not forth thence any whither. There's two of them in the same verse. Go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thine head. Solomon, in his generosity, says, you build a house anywhere you want in Jerusalem. And you stay in Jerusalem. This is your city of refuge. You are guilty and worthy of death because of what you did to my father David. But he showed you grace, and I'll extend that grace as long as you stay within the bounds of what I, as the sovereign, tell you you can do. But the day you wander out, it's all over. Shimei says in verse 38, thy saying is good. All right? He's pretending to be regenerate. Thy saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Then number three, he proved to be reprobate. He proved to be reprobate. Reprobate means away from the faith. To walk away from the grace of God. To be exposed to it and to turn away from it. See, heathen means simply not knowing, not having it. Reprobate means coming to salvation's door, beholding it with your own eyes, knowing it's there, and then turning around and walking away from it. That's where Shimei is. He's got all the signs, all the right things. Thy saying is good. But verse 39, it came to pass at the end of 3 years. That's how long some professions of faith last. That's how long some people's dedication to God goes, 3 years. They do all the right things, say all the right things, and act the way, the right way. But about 3 years later, the thorns rising up choke out the life, and they disappear, and they're gone. You know what it shows? It wasn't real. It wasn't real. Now, that doesn't mean we have to live it to prove that it's real. It means if it's real, we'll live it. That's where the theologians kind of try to trip us up sometimes with some weird doctrines. Doesn't mean we have to live it to the end to have it, but it means if we have it, we'll live it to the end. And Shimei didn't have it. And 3 years, verse 39, it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away. How'd you like to have been a servant of Shimei anyways? I'd run away too. Old foul mouth, hot-tempered guy. They ran away unto Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath. Now, you know what just happened, right? You know, because you just read the account, he just left Jerusalem. Now, let me ask you, do you think he knew? I think the minute that donkey, that horse, stepped one step out of Jerusalem, he knew exactly, he was willfully disobeying the direct will of the sovereign. He was going against the commandment given to him, and he knew it all along. Why? It wasn't in his heart. As long as it was convenient for him to do, he was going to do it. But now there's no indication like, I wonder if I'll get away with this. It's not like, should I try this? It's not even like something, I mean, two servants and not something really valuable went away, but he just gets up and it's not even a hesitation, not even a second thought, and he rides off. He proved to be reprobate. He'd been play-acting for too long. Verse 40, and Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants, and Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, thou know for a certain on the day thou goest out and walkest about any whither, thou shalt surely die, and thou sayest unto me, thy word that I heard is good. See, Solomon just recounts his words back to him. Didn't you say this? Apparently you didn't mean it. Didn't you say this? You must not have been sincere. First opportunity that came along, you broke what you were told to do. You said it was good. Verse 43, why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said, moreover, unto Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. See, Solomon knows what David told him, the Savior and the Sovereign. They both know together. Your heart's never changed. Your actions changed, your outward appearance changed, your demeanor changed, but your heart's never changed. Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. His head changed, but his heart never did. You know what God's in the business of doing? Changing hearts. He doesn't want to change heads. We're not trying to change people's minds. They can believe and think anything they want to. It's a free country. But we're trying to change their hearts. Because it's the heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's the heart that is the seat that God is after. It's the heart that He wants us to believe with all of our heart and call upon Him for Savior. Too many folks today, even in our Christian country, are simply nothing more than Shimeis. They profess it because it's convenient. They profess it because they can fit in good. And the good thing that happens, if there can anything be said, the good thing that happens with persecution, the good things that happens with opposition, is it weeds out the Shimeis. It weeds out those that are in it for one reason or another and not really in it for the glory of God. Don't be a Shimei. Believe with all your heart. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our God that knowest the hearts of all men and women, Father, You know our hearts tonight. And God, I believe, and I hope I'm not naive or gullible, but I believe that in this auditorium tonight, every person